Okay, so thought I'd do a little chat about why we meditate. Just a brief one. And for me, it makes the most sense to just to talk about... there's this experience that happened to me that I think kind of dramatizes a lot of the why. And the basic essence is what I've already said. It's learning how to actually be completely present with what's really happening in your experience, like to see things how they really are. There's various layers of things coming between you and the world that you most of the time don't even realize is there. The most obvious is the sort of spinning thought layer, which takes you into fantasies or planning or, you know, into memories. And that's all fine when it has a certain place. But if it's the only time, the only space you're ever in, your life can get very claustrophobic. So that's one piece. But there's another piece that separates, there's two other layers that separate you from the world sort of as it is, at least two. One of those, and they're both more subtle than that, one is a layer of interference that has to do with your endless series of judgments and desires of the things you like and the things you don't like. The things that you see that you enjoy, that you covet. The things that you see that you don't like. The sounds you like, you don't like. The thoughts you like, you don't like. The situations, the endless susurration of back and forth, of tugging and managing and choreographing everything. Like it's a kind of interference in the sensory system. It's literally a lack of equanimity. It's this like stuff that's in there, this constant need to be making these assessments, even if you're not even consciously doing it. Most of it's unconscious. So this, I'm going to tell you what happens when that goes away, because I had an experience like that that really blew my mind. And the last piece is this sense of you're in here and the rest of the world's out there. There's all this energy that's being used to keep this up. But it's possible to be 100% aware in the world without a sense of you being in here and the rest of the world's out there. It sounds crazy, but that's called enlightenment, and it's for real. I know lots of people that are in that space. So I'll tell you an experience that I had that really crystallized for me, in a sense, why I meditate. And I was at a retreat, and it was about 3 or 4 years ago. And this was like the sixth or seventh day on retreat, and so it was towards the end. And I can't even remember what technique I was doing. I think I wasn't even doing anything. I was just sitting and just noticing my experience and being kind of okay with it. And that actually is meaningful. I had full equanimity with what was going on. And then suddenly there was this, like, it sounded like a needle scratch on the record. And it was like total quiet in my head. It was exactly like when you're in the kitchen and the fridge cuts out. It was completely quiet. I had never knew there was sound in there before. And I was actually really rested and meditative, so there wasn't any narrative going on. But what disappeared was that constant desire for things to be different. This desire for this little subtle, when's this going to be over? What's for lunch? You know, what's this? All this, like, this tugging that was inside my experience that I didn't even know was there. I never even noticed it. It was just like the background noise. It just gone. And I sat there for like 2 hours. I could have sat there for another week. I could have sat there for 3 weeks. I had no desire for anything to be different than it was. I wasn't in any special bliss state. I just didn't feel like anything needed to be any different than it was. I had a total equanimity with my experience. So the bell rings, and I go up to lunch, and I'm like, you know, I look at my hand, and it looks weird. It's like they have this expression, Zen, made of wood. It's like things start, you start to like, because what happens is you kind of become an object to yourself at first. But anyway, it's sort of a thing that happens in meditation where you suddenly start to see the strangeness of everything. But I remember eating about half my meal, and then I wasn't hungry anymore. And ordinarily, I would have just wolfed it all down automatically. But I got full, and I didn't eat anymore. And then the most interesting thing of all happened, which is I started to look around the room at all the people in the dining hall, and I realized I could look at them in the eye in a way I'd never been able to look at anybody in the eye before. I didn't want anything from them. This subtle desire of wanting to be liked or not liked, wanting to make an impression or not make an impression, it was gone. And when that was gone, I noticed all these things about them. I noticed how they were dressed and qualities of their being and their character. It was like, this is the world. It was suddenly shown to me what it really is. And it lasted for about, it was incredibly emotional, because it was, you know, you feel this incredible tenderness. You somehow you see people for how they are, and you just, you know, you just think, wow, that person is who they are, and you just have a feeling of, it's like you're free to like them without your agenda. Mm-hmm. And so it lasted for about 3 days, and I got back in the city, and then crazy urban stress, and you know, it evaporated more or less. Although I always felt not too far from that. Even now, I feel like I can access that perspective. I can find that quality of rest. And so that, in a nutshell, is kind of what this practice is about. It speaks to the Shinzen talks about the three reasons why, the four, five reasons you meditate: the reduction of physical and emotional suffering. So, why do we suffer? We suffer because we're constantly trying to change what's happening in our experience. We're trying to manage it better, more to maximize it, you know. And we're upset for we have a loss. We're not happy with the loss, you know. Understandably, these are human things. The meditation doesn't get rid of that. What it gets rid of is the dwelling on it. You feel grief when grief is the right thing to feel, and you feel it fully, and then it moves through you, and you feel in the same way you feel happiness. But when there's not that layer of resistance, things are so much fuller. There's more clarity. There's more vividness. There's more humanness, and it's beautiful. And so there's that quality, and you can imagine what that's like when you're walking around in nature or whatever. And then there's the elevation of, so that's the elevation of fulfillment, and then and the reduction of suffering. Because the suffering, the hard truth of this practice is, actually you're going to feel things more. Things start to hurt more because you feel them more. There's no resistance buffering it. When you see someone suffering, you're like, you're really feeling it in a way you didn't before. But it's, there's something bittersweet in it. You know, even in the suffering, you find a quality of grace in that. Which sounds weird, but it's there. And then there's the changes in your behavior. You know, if you're imagining you're operating that space, you can just see your own impulses come up from more of a distance. You know, you have more freedom around choosing the kind of way you want to be in the world. You don't have to act in this way automatically. You know, and not only do you have less of an agenda, because you're more open to just letting things be how they are. You know, it's like, but you're also, you have just much more autonomy over your own responses, and you can choose more skillful responses. And then there's the last two, which are kind of the most mysterious ones, and I've kind of indicated them all already. One is this amplified spirit of love and service towards others. Like, when you get out of your own way, you just find you have a lot more room for other people, and you're more interested in their well-being. It just comes up naturally, and it's kind of a mystery why it comes up naturally. But in the Hindu context, they say it's because, at essence, there's this quality of love that sort of underlies everything else. I don't know if that's true or not. All I know is it's been my experience that that has definitely come up in a very natural way. And then the other piece is this deeper knowledge of who you really are. And that's what I keep talking about that. Underneath the thoughts, there is this deeper sort of place. And it's a paradox, because it's kind of impersonal. You're not really in that place. I mean, you are in the place, but there's no you. The stuff of your personality isn't so much in it. It's just this substrate. But it's a paradox, because the stuff of you isn't it. You are an expression of it, you know. And it somehow makes you more human. It makes you more loving in some way. But it's kind of an impersonal quality too, and it's hard to explain it. It's one of those things where the reason the sort of humanistic scientific mainstream always gets frustrated with mysticism and with contemplative practices, people inevitably end up starting to talk about it in that way, because the experience is not intellectual, it's not rational. It's a different kind of knowing, but it is a knowing that you begin to feel. So that's kind of a little bit about the why of meditation. Any questions about that? Sounds pretty all right. I mean, not to try to sell it, because there's some tough stuff in it. I mean, the heartbreak quality is for real. Like, you get the real, like, you know, after that experience, a year later, I was back in another retreat, and I had a really terrible retreat, you know, where just all this horrible stuff started coming up, where I was like, you're boiling through layers of your mind, like, this pockets of, like, childhood shame and, like, discomfort and unease, and you're just, and you're seeing, or you see something really clearly about some way you've been acting that's really dickheadish for a long time, and you're just like, you got to swallow that, you know. And then there's periods where, in that, as if you go deep in meditation, there's times that there's like difficult integrations, and you have to integrate this thing that you're learning. It's not an easy path. Some people sail right through it. They sail right to the end, you know. It's like all love and happiness and doves. Other other people, it's like,
that's very bad.
Yeah, but others, it's like Dark Night of the Soul. I mean, like T.S. Eliot or someone. I mean, read Four Quartets. If you've never read Four Quartets, it's like you're ripped to shreds. Now that's very rare. It's like very small percentage, but I mean, it's just about, you know, it's about being human with how you are and your relationship with the world. And, you know, I mean, for me, it's like, there's no other reason to be here. I'm not here to be a monkey. I'm not here to be a dog. I'm not here to be a leaf, a tree. I'm here to be human. I want to know what that means. So, you know, that's how I see it.